Hey friends, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to continue with this series about the Book of Mormon with Sandra Tanner. And guys, I'm telling you what, I had so much fun with this recording. It was so much fun talking to Sandra. But yeah, yesterday, just in review, yesterday we talked about that Stella number 5. And that was one of the things that I personally had Mormons bust out on me, an archaeological find that had nothing to do with Mormonism, but they used it as some kind of evidence that Mormonism existed, or rather the stories in the Book of Mormon existed and were historically accurate in the Americas. Turns out it has nothing to do with Mormonism. We also talked about this Bat Creek Stone, which is something that Glenn Beck, he was the one, in my opinion, that really made it popular. I'd never even heard about it until I heard people saying, hey, Glenn Beck's talking about this Bat Creek Stone. And so I check it out. Yeah, sure enough, it has nothing to do with Mormonism either. And even the Mormons, the scholars, are starting to back away from it and go, oh boy. We talked about things like the DNA evidence that it was originally claimed that the Lamanites were the principal ancestors of the American Indians. And that was actually in the introduction to the Book of Mormon for the longest time. But now it's being changed, and it's saying that the Lamanites are among the ancestors of the American Indians. Because as you look at these, the DNA evidence suggests it, well, it proves actually that these Indians have zero Semitic blood going on. It's more like they are descendants of the people of Asia. See that video, that's online, I think it's called DNA in the Book of Mormon. Really well done. Proves this point, drives it home pretty well. But anyway, today we're going to pick right up where we left off yesterday. I backed up the recording just a little bit so you guys can get the context of what we were talking about as we move from one topic to another. But friends, really quick, Sandra Tanner's website is utlm.org. It's Utah Lighthouse Ministry if you just want to Google it. You got to go check out her website. There is so much there, okay? It is loaded. And of course, there is her bookstore too, and there's a lot of good stuff in there as well. And I really do suggest you go in there and check that out. So anyway, with that, let's go ahead and jump right in.
So God sets them up with a moral dilemma that they will need to break one or the other of these two commandments, which is contrary to the nature of God that I see throughout the Bible. And so they have set up a false problem. As a Christian, I don't see that need for Adam and Eve to sin in order to have had children. Mormonism is saying God intended for them to sin, to do the greater, higher good, so there could be mortality and God could send all his spirit children to earth to have a chance to prove their mettle, whether they're going to be righteous or not, so that they can finally go on to determine what level of Mormon heaven they're going to get, which puts
right,
it all on a worthiness basis rather than the grace of Christ.
Mm, ouch, yes. And that's a big issue. We have a God who is setting his people up to sin. This is also a God of flesh and bone. And they have this situation where there's this preoccupation with works and exaltation, actually trying to become a God.
Right. And this is one of the areas where there's the contradictions between the Mormon scriptures, because the Book of Mormon teaches there's only one God. It says the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one God. And it never portrays Heavenly Father as having a physical body. But as Joseph Smith got going in his church and he started giving additional revelations beyond the Book of Mormon, he started to change his view of God. And so over the next 14 years, he evolved his different doctrines till he finally ended up teaching that God was once a man on another earth system as a human. He lived and died, was resurrected, and we don't know how long it took, but eventually he was declared a God and was able to start this world for his spirit children born to God and his wife in a premortal existence they have these billions of spirit children born to them that are later sent to their earth to be tested on how obedient they will be, and only the most obedient will come back to Heavenly Father's presence. But that's a later doctrine of Mormonism. It isn't a Book of Mormon doctrine. In Mormonism, we see Joseph Smith changing all his theology through the years. Now, the Book of Mormon does teach a sort of works-based gospel where when you accept Christ, then you have to continue in strict righteousness in order to eventually get eternal life. So there's a little bit of a digression there as far as adding to the concept of grace. But the Book of Mormon does not teach there are three levels of heaven or their idea of temple ritual or the need to be a Mormon who's gone through these priesthood rites in order to have eternal life. So it's a change in his theology through the years.
Mm. What about the contradictions between the Bible and the Book of Mormon?
Well, in the contradictions there, it's not so much in the nature of God as it is in specific things like when the followers of Christ were first called Christian. The Book of Mormon has people called Christian before the Book of Acts would tell you that they got called Christians. You have the confusion of covenants, where in the Book of Mormon in the early years, 600 to 100 B.C., you have them talking about being baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. And so you have them supposedly keeping the law of Moses while following the New Testament concepts of Christ's atonement. And that, so that's a contradiction to the Bible. The Bible portrays that no one understood or knew about the specifics of Christian doctrine in the Old Testament time. They looked forward to the Messiah, but they didn't know what his name was, that he'd be Jesus Christ. And in the Book of Mormon, they have that name, Jesus Christ. And also in the Book of Mormon, you have in the pre-Jesus birth period, people being baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sin. I mean, they've completely changed the whole concept of the Old Testament by having both the old covenant of the law and the new covenant of grace through Christ, and you have them both trying to operate in the Book of Mormon peoples at the same time.
Oh, yeah, and that is a major problem as well, because that really messes with the doctrine of salvation.
Yes.
What about this? And I've talked to Mormons about this in my living room as well. Mary is said to be born in Jerusalem instead of Bethlehem.
Yeah, not Mary, but Mary would have Jesus born in...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, slip of the tongue there. Yes, that Mary would give birth to Jesus in Jerusalem in the Book of Mormon instead of in Bethlehem. Now, Micah in the Bible got Bethlehem right, so one was wondering why people in the Americas that supposedly have God talking to them with the prophet and everything over here, why didn't they get it right? Why would it say Jerusalem? So the Mormons tried to get around this by saying, well, it was in the county of Jerusalem, so they want to make Bethlehem sort of like part of Jerusalem, that it's okay to use that larger term. So when you had, like, making Bethlehem a suburb of Jerusalem, that it wouldn't make a difference which words you used. Well, it does make a difference, and that's why Micah says it's going to happen in Bethlehem, because Bethlehem always had a separate identity from Jerusalem.
Right, right. Bethlehem, house of bread. Yeah, absolutely. Changing gears, you and your amazing husband, Gerald, came out of Mormonism. Can you describe that process to me? How did you guys, what influenced you or what got into you to leave the Mormons?
Well, when Gerald and I were teenagers, before we even knew each other, we had different situations of people that challenged us on different aspects of Mormonism. And Gerald when he was 18 and the bishop started talking about it's getting time to consider a mission, because they usually were going at 19 at that time, he decided he better take his religion more seriously than he had been. And he starts reading the Book of Mormon and praying about it and trying to figure things out. And then he runs across different information that raised questions about Mormonism and its history. So he went on a quest for those things. Now, I didn't know Gerald at the time, but in my area, my mom had started to have questions about Mormonism, and she started telling me various problem areas she was running into in early church history. So I already was somewhat aware of that there were some problems. I just hadn't looked into any of it myself. And then I met Gerald, and he started sharing me the problems that he was finding, contradictions in early church history and changes in the early Mormon scriptures, and got me to start looking into it. So it started as a quest for determining the truth of Mormonism. And it just seemed to be getting more murky the longer we looked into it, more and more problems. And we had people trying to encourage us to go back and read the Bible, read the New Testament. It doesn't teach Mormonism. And so over, for Gerald, over a period of a couple of years, and for me meeting Gerald over a number of months, we each came to see that Mormonism itself didn't meet any kind of historical test, and it contradicted the Bible on priesthood and temple work and all these things. But then when we left the Mormon church, we still were hanging on to the Book of Mormon. We thought, well, even if Joseph went astray later, maybe God called him to really bring forth a real record of God's dealing with the people here in America. And so we still believed the Book of Mormon for another approximately 2.5 years after we actually left the church. But then different people started talking to us about this, like things that we've just been discussing today, how the Book of Mormon does differ from the Bible, how the Book of Mormon has no historical basis, how there's no way of proving this civilization ever happened. In your Bibles, you have maps where you can trace out the journeys of Paul. You can trace out Jesus' travels through Israel. And yet in the Book of Mormon, you have no map. The Mormon Church will not issue a map for the Book of Mormon. So it's all a matter of faith. And the more we looked into the Book of Mormon problems, we realized it didn't stack up like the Bible. There was no evidence of any people group like this. So finally, we had to set it aside as well and went back to just following the Bible and seeing that the grace of Christ in the Bible was totally different than what the Mormons were talking about. Their gospel is one of temple ritual, priesthood ordination, and living all the laws of Mormonism to inherit eternal life, but it's based on your performance. They would say, yes, but Christ, we look to Christ as our Savior, but they're looking to Christ as the gateway into heaven, but then what level of heaven you get is based on your works and your righteousness. So we saw that this was totally different than what the Bible was talking about, that it's by grace we're saved, not by works, because we aren't to be able to boast about anything we did. We can't add to what Christ did on the cross. So then we got into our writing and researching and publishing to try to help our fellow Mormons see that they were being led after a false gospel and a false trust, thinking that they were serving God, but it was in a totally false direction.
Hmm. Okay, so you brought up a few things. One of the things, people challenged you.
Yes.
Now, friends, that will preach. People challenged Sandra and Gerald on their beliefs. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you do this in love. You are gracious to people, and you just ask them questions. You challenge their faith. And, you know, things that influenced Sandra, as she was saying, there were changes that were done to the scriptures. There were all these changes. We have discrepancies in the history, between the history of the Book of Mormon and what we see in the Bible. There were contradictions between the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And then there was the maps, the lack of maps. Sandra, do you have anything, like any advice to believers who are trying to witness to Mormons?
Well, like you were saying, it's a matter of asking them questions, trying to get them to evaluate why do you accept the things you do as being from God? On what basis do we view Joseph Smith as a prophet of God? Does he meet the biblical test of a prophet? And, of course, I don't believe he does. Deuteronomy 13 says he can't lead you after a strange God. And yet Joseph Smith certainly did by teaching that God was once a man who evolved to eventually achieve the status of godhood. And so we need to, in kindness and love, ask our Mormon friends the basis of their hope. Why do they believe the things they do? Does it match biblical criteria for prophets? Is their system of priesthood what we find in the Bible, which it isn't? They totally misunderstand the book of Hebrews. But it's asking the questions to get them to think. As Christians, we should not be afraid of looking into our own faith. Truth will stand up to investigation. And I often use the illustration with a Mormon. It's like the IRS guy coming and wanting to see your tax returns for your business for the last 5 years. And you tell him he can see every year except the fourth year. Okay, why can't I see that year? Well, there's nothing wrong with that year, but you just can't see that one. And so it's that way in Mormonism. If you're going to say, oh, well, you can look at everything but this, don't question this, then aren't you conceding there's a problem with it? So it should be open to examination. Joseph Smith's story changed through the years. His claims of his visions changed in their descriptions through the years. His scriptures changed through the years. Why would I believe this man to be a prophet of God? So we try to share with them that salvation, grace, eternal life, and it's important to understand they've redefined all the words. Stick with eternal life, not the word salvation. How do we gain eternal life? How do we get back to the presence of Heavenly Father? And there's reasons I word it that way, because of the way they use words in their system. So if you stick with how do we get eternal life, how do we get back to the presence of Heavenly Father? And the basis of that for the Christian is that by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast, from Ephesians. Whereas they're saying you get back to Heavenly Father by being baptized a Mormon, having Mormon priesthood, getting married in the Mormon temple, and observing all the Mormon rules, your life, and then you will inherit eternal life. Well, it's just simply not biblical.
Thank you. That was really good. Friends, this has been Sandra Tanner with Utah Lighthouse Ministries. Again, her website is utlm.org. It is like an encyclopedia of information. There's so much there. If you want to learn more about Mormonism, as well as there's many books that both Gerald and Sandra Tanner have written separately and together that you guys should check out. Sandra, thank you for coming on to the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I hope people will check it out and learn for themselves that the Bible can be trusted. Mormonism doesn't measure up.
Friends, thanks for listening. Again, that was Sandra Tanner, Utah Lighthouse Ministry, utlm.org. And one more thing, I need to mention this. I need to give credit where credit is due. I was not the brainchild for the name Answer Ready Ministries. That was actually one of my close friends, Brian. Maybe I shouldn't say his last name. I didn't ask him if I could. Let's say it rhymes with Harley. Brian came up with this idea. We're standing out in a park during an Oktoberfest, handing out Frisbee sunglasses and trying to witness to people and, invite them to a new church that we were planting. And Brian busts out, "Hey, why don't you call your ministry Answer Ready?" And I'm thinking, A-R, like R. And he starts laughing. And then he comes back a little while later and he says, "What about Answer Ready Ministries?" And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And so, anyway, I just wanted to give credit where credit was due. That was not my idea. That was one of my friends and listeners out there. And I just want to mention that. So, anyway, if you want to chat about this, guys, you can catch me on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, or myworldviewpage.com. I love talking to you guys, answering questions or whatever. And with that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.